today on Real Radio.
But these guys are professional religionists. They were to lead the nation of Israel closer to God. Imagine, their task was to bring people to a deeper knowledge of God. There's no greater calling in the world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're in a mini-series taken from Matthew chapter 21, which records a parable that was directed toward the religious leaders of that day. It draws upon scriptural history from what we now refer to as the Old Testament. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more on his series on the parable of the householder and his heir.
Matthew chapter 21. Again, we're looking at the parable of the householder and his heir, and it's a big one. So let's pick it up in verse 33, chapter 21, and refresh ourselves in it. Jesus said to them, "Hear another parable." This is a significant parable. "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time had drawn near, harvest time, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the wine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. And then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir.'" Of course, they're speaking about Jesus, and Jesus is referring to himself in this parable. "Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And so they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes," Jesus is now talking, which the scribes understood what he was speaking about, "when the Lord comes back at the last day, what will he do to those vine dressers?" And they, that is the chief priests and the Pharisees, said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." Verse 42, "And Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures," the Old Testament, the Bible, "'the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore," verse 33, Jesus says, "I say to you," and you can almost feel him and see him pointing at the chief priest and the Pharisees, "the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken." That's a good thing. "But on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him, that is Jesus, for a prophet. It's awesome. We've studied through this, and we've come now to the last few installments of this amazing parable. Jesus rips the mask off of hypocrisy. And if we would have been there, I would hope that we would have been kind of off to the side as a cheerleading group going, "Yeah!" Why do I say that? Because I would assume tonight that none of us appreciate hypocrisy. We understand that we all struggle with hypocrisy. You guys know this by now, that to be a hypocrite is to not do what you know is the right thing to do. So that makes all of us hypocrites. But there are some people who sign up to be hypocrites, and then there's us who don't want to be hypocrites. But because of sin or our sin nature that we're fighting against, at least now that we're born again, we fight this discrepancy in our spiritual development, and we hate it. But these guys are professional religionists. They were to lead the nation of Israel closer to God. Imagine, their task was to bring people to a deeper knowledge of God. There's no greater calling in the world. I don't argue with God on this anymore. I say anymore. I used to. I gave up. But I was very content to be doing the job I was doing before God called me to do this. If those of you, if you're here and you don't know, I had a fine career. And I even had my whole plan. I don't do many things well, but one of the things I do well is I had a plan. I know how to make money. It's just a gift. I can do that. And I had a job, and I started out in it at very young, and it was going along fine. And I knew that as I stayed at this corporation, a very large global corporation, I knew that at 52 years of age, I would be retiring and be completely fine. And I was on track for that. And what happens? We moved from Costa Mesa out here to Chino Hills, and we're commuting back and forth to church to Costa Mesa. And then you have children, right? You have kids, and you're commuting with kids. You wake them up on Sunday morning. You get them dressed. You drive 30 miles to church, and they fall asleep on Sunday morning. And then, again, right in the car. They're all dressed up. They look beautiful. But when you wake them up a second time after that drive and try to get them to Sunday school, it's like waking Satan up. And it doesn't work. We tried really hard, Lisa and I did. And as time went on, Pastor Chuck Smith had encouraged us, you need to start a home Bible study. And we put that off for a couple years. And then finally we wound up doing that. And we did that out of sheer desperation to meet other Christians in our community. And God began to bless, and it blew our minds. And even still, I tried at the time, as it was growing, I tried to get Pastor Chuck to give this fledgling new church to somebody at Costa Mesa. I had my plan. And God completely overruled my plan. And he forced me out of that job. They laid off 1,000 employees, and I couldn't wait because I thought, that's going to be my answer. God is going to get me laid off. I'm going to get a severance package, and I'm going to be able to go do the church, and it'll be an easy thing, and it's going to be great. Guess what? They laid off 1,000 people, and at the end of the day or the month of laying people off, on that last Friday of the month, my manager walked by and he said, how you doing? I said, well, I'm still waiting. He goes, haven't you heard? Layoffs are over. It's done. And I said, what are you talking about? I guess it's God's will I stay here then at the company. You know what? God does this stuff in our lives. He causes us to take steps of faith. Sometimes he doesn't make things easy. I could have gotten laid off and had money in the pocket and go to the church without drawing an income. It would have been fantastic. God didn't do it that way. I had to go back right after the layoffs. 3 days later, I go back on a Tuesday, and I tell them, I'm resigning. You what? No, you don't understand. We just laid everybody off. I said, I got to go. God made it so clear to my heart, I had to do this by faith. Step out. And I got to tell you, all along the way, I thought, you know what? I could have just done that job, and I would have been judged in eternity before God on that job, being a dad, being a husband, that job. And now it's this. Called to tell people about God. To teach the body of Christ through the Word of God. Discipling them in the Word, the Bible. That's what we're doing right now. I wouldn't have picked me for this. But God did. God has picked you to reach the kingdom through you. To reach the world through you. And listen, just stop arguing with him. You're going to lose. Yield to him. Take it from somebody who got a bloody nose running up against God. Just give up. If God's calling you, respond to him in obedience. But be very, very holy, reverently fearful about giving out the Word of God, the Bible. Because, listen, God takes this very seriously. The scribes and the Pharisees, the chief priests, they began to do things based upon their own interest. And so listen, church, as we looked at this before, this is what we covered, and then we'll end it tonight. We saw, number one, point number one, regarding this parable, that it's all about the lordship of God and that it was a qualitative thing. And verse 33, look at verse 33. Jesus said, hear, that is, listen to another, that is, you've heard many, but you're not responding. This is another, meaning this is the big hitter. Parable. He's casting truth alongside their head. And he says that there was a certain landowner. He's speaking about God, and they knew it. In that culture, they understood that fine. Who planted a vineyard, now they know he's talking about Israel, and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, built a tower, and leased it to vine dressers. These scribes and Pharisees, they knew the Bible, and they knew Jesus was speaking about them. And it's very, very amazing because qualitatively, Jesus is announcing that God the Father has done everything to see to it that his people has gotten or would get his word. He built a tower. He dug a press for it. He provided fencing and everything that the nation, the Jewish people, might have the word of God. And it was the religious professionals that kept people from hearing the word of God. They, so to speak, went to church and left, or they went to synagogue and left, and they were never more any closer to God. They were never more stimulated to draw near to God. It was just mundane. That could sound a little familiar. It all depends on who's handling the word of God and how you gather around. Is it real? Is it life? And look, in light of America, in light of the world, in light of the atmosphere of culture today, I think things are going to get real clear real soon. Christianity is under attack, big time. And if you don't see that, if you haven't read articles on that, if you haven't heard about that, then I don't know where you've been. But listen, it's okay. It's only going to increase. It's not going to go away, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever squeezed toothpaste out of the tube and then have your mom tell you to put it back in? It ain't going back in. And it's out. Persecution is rising. That's okay. Because the church is going to get really healthy. It might get, I don't mean this church. I mean this church and every church. The church in the world, the church in America, might get real small compared to its size now, but get real healthy and powerful. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Because people who are playing on the fringes and just wanting to be religious, they're going to go where it's easy. They're not going to hang out at church where people are being mocked and ridiculed and attacked and shot at and beat up. And Jesus is saying that my Father has provided everything. The second thing we saw last time is that the Lordship of God is faithful. In verse 36, Jesus said again, that's a merciful statement. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. God sends warnings and warnings. He sent to Israel prophets. He sent to Israel judges. He sent to Israel kings. He sent to Israel his word. Imagine, think of it. The Jews, according to the Bible, have been given the custody of the Bible to give to the world. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. Paul the Apostle said, seeing how you now estimate yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we go to the Gentile world. Isn't that amazing? That's how you and I got saved, by the way. The gospel going to us non-Jews. Listen, if you're a Jew, either listening tonight, watching, you're here tonight, and you're born again, man, we want to meet you. That's amazing. Because the early church was 99% Jew and very few Gentile. Think of it. And over the years, that's shifted. But here's a cool thing. My goodness, in the last 25 years, many more Jews now are coming to faith in Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus as Messiah, Savior. God's starting to lift the veil. But God is faithful, and the gospel goes out. And Jesus said, again, he sent other servants. And the third thing is this tonight. We pick it up right here, church. Mark it down. The Lordship of God is persistent. God is persistent. Aren't you glad about that? God is persistent. Man, if you're backslidden tonight, if you're not walking with God tonight, if you're kind of sloughing it off in your Christian commitment, God is so persistent that he warns us as believers. He's saying to us, come on, come meet me again. Renew it again. Return to your first love again. You ever heard God tell you that? Why is it quiet in here? You should have said yes. Okay, let's rewind that. I'm going to say it and you go ahead and respond. Have you ever heard God say that?
Yes.
Of course you have. Because listen, when we think about God saying to us, well, come back to your first love, we think of some person who's like the prodigal son, is miles from God. No. You can be walking with God and 2 hours later, your mind be 1,000 miles from the Lord. And the Lord might say, come on back now, come on back. Any of you had kids, you know, walking a 2 or 3 year old around. I mean, I would not do this, but I've seen some parents that have leashes on their kids, you know, and I kind of understand. When I see the kid, I see why they have a leash on them, but you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like, you know, it's like, is that a 35-pound test you're using there on that kid? But God kind of does that in the sense of, stay here. Okay, come here. Come back over here. He's persistent with us. He never gives up on us. He never quits on us. And Jesus is saying this. Look at verse 37 and 38. Then last of all, he sent his son to them. Now imagine the audience, church, as we keep reading this verse. They are speaking to the man who's rumored about the nation. It's already been well broadcast for 30 years. This is that guy with all of the scandalous conception. There were strange atmospheric disturbances at his birth. We've written that off. It was some strange thing, swamp fog, light, gases. And yeah, you know what? The people have been saying that the prophets make reference to this guy, this son of David. Some say he's the son of God. They knew who they were talking about, just if it's by a scandalous thought. Are you with me? They're no stranger to who he is. And when Jesus says to them in verse 37, he finally sent his son to them. You can almost see him point to his own robe on his chest. And they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. That's guts or ignorance. No, that's the wrong word, huh? Ignorance. Ignorance would mean they're kind of innocent. Nah, this is pure evil. You're not ignorant of who Jesus Christ is. You hear his name mentioned at least a few times a day. Right? Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that, right? You ever been on a construction site? Any of you in the Navy? For that matter, ever been on a school campus? You been walking through the mall? Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that. Last Sunday night, 170 nations around the world tuned in, millions and millions of people tuned in on Discovery Channel and watched Nick Walenda walk across the Grand Canyon on a rope, on a wire. Massive global audience. Did you see it? Anybody see that? Everybody's there. All the stuff's going on. It's amazing. He gets up there and he's got his thing. Right? And, you know, at first, the first step is he's 9 inches over the canyon at that point. First step. Second step, you know, he's like 13 feet over. Third step, it's like 125 feet over the canyon. Okay, by the 10th step, he's 1,500 feet above the Grand Canyon floor. And did you see it? He goes like this. I should have played it on the screens. He goes, thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are God. You are Christ. You are my defender. He's walking. And the cable starts wobbling, remember? And he's out like at about 500 feet out there. And it starts going like this. And he sits down out there. His family's like sweating blood. And he goes, Lord Jesus, I ask you to rebuke this wind, because the wind was blowing. Lord Jesus. And he got to the other side, and people went crazy around the world and all that kind of stuff. And so all these people heard the, listen, you know what cracked me up? What cracked me up is I'm surprised, Discovery Channel, I'm surprised it wasn't like this. Dear beep. And beep, 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 beep. And Lord, you're beep. And I'm calling upon beep. And right? guy preached Jesus going across that wire. And he may not have the gift of evangelism, he may not have the gift of whatever, but that guy took his feet and he went across that canyon. Now, look, don't talk to me about tempting the Lord thy God and all that stuff. I'm thinking, that's crazy! But the name of Jesus went out, and I'm thinking to an unbelieving world, for crying out loud, you hear the name of Jesus all the time, all everywhere. He's the number one cursed name word in the universe. Everybody in the world, no matter where they're from, if they're going to cuss, they're going to use his name. Isn't that amazing? God's persistent, though. He never gives up. He's waiting. And Jesus said, well, you know what? The sun came, but they said to themselves, let's kill him. Let's remove Jesus from the scene. Let's remove everything about God from the scene. Let's take away any resemblance of God. Let's get him out of here. Every culture, I think, lives in an age where that is manifested to some degree or not. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Isn't that amazing? Psalm, ladies and gentlemen, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, the psalmist writes, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. What does this verse mean? Jack, you just said God's persistent. Oh, yes, he is persistent, but make no mistake about it, my friend. God's persistent, but there's a coming time that God has designed where he will stop being persistent. Did you know that? It's already built into the deal. God will stop reaching out to those who are saying no to him. But when a personal individual says no to God, no, 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 I don't want you in my life, and they slam the door on God, it may be your last time. It may be their last time. And God's done. He's persistent. But there's times when a person comes to the end. In Proverbs 30, verse 4 and 5, you know this verse. Proverbs 30 says, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? And who has bound up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know. Jesus said, the owner of the vineyard sent his son. Jesus is announcing that the owner of Israel has a son. God has a son. Isn't that amazing? And we talked about in our previous studies how all the religions of the world deny that Jesus is the Son of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. And it's a study called The Parable of the Householder and His Heir. It's actually a series within a series taken from Matthew chapter 21 and verses 33 through 46. The Parable of the Householder and His Heir is part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that this broadcast outreach, known as Real Radio, is just one part of the ministry. We have television programs, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts, if you like. And it all sounds like a lot, but that's just because our goal is to equip you with the tools that you need to present and defend the gospel. And all of our outreaches can be yours and at your fingertips with the free app for your smartphone or tablet called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, by the way, happens to be the name of one of our television programs as well. We think you'll like that when you check it out. Now, all you have to do is go to your app store and download it for free. It's a one-stop shop that enables you to access Real Life devotionals by Pastor Jack, which you can get via email, our Real Radio podcasts, topical lessons from Scripture. You'll get verse-by-verse studies, and of course, our Monday night TV program that happens to bear the same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.